So let's start.
If you shoot them out.
No. Everybody's on mute. So let me just put you on mute while I finish this important topic, which many people have wondered about. How do mutes create? Somebody brought it up an hour ago, and you said, we already answered that. Well, this is one of the times you answered it on March 17th. So this is leading into the big breakthrough. Okay, I am so.
Okay, there's a breakthrough. Good. We're getting somewhere, yeah. Y'all. We're getting somewhere. It's past 10 p.m., but we are getting somewhere.
This is the eve of Sheila's birthday, the eve of Ion's birthday, March 18th. On March 17th, 5 years later, we finally get this thing figured out. Here we go. Talking with Sarah's ex-boyfriend, Michael, today, an interesting talk. He found it very interesting on the weekend when we were talking about the difference between sub-vocalizing or thinking and then actual words. Thoughts influence people, but not as much as words. I think Ion said that thought was antimatter. What would we say is the gradations from thought to actual speaking words? Because Michael said that there was a phase in between for him where he started to move his throat muscles, though he didn't open his mouth and say words. What are these the phasing of thought into spoken word? Any comment on that spectrum, Ion?
You're talking about a notion. You're talking about an opinion. You're talking about a view. You're talking about a feeling. You're talking about a theory. You're talking about an opinion produced by thinking or occurring suddenly in the mind.
Right. Sequence of thoughts.
Contemplation, musing, pondering, consideration, reflection, introspection. Yes.
Does that have influence on people if they don't speak it?
You mean compared to speaking the words?
Well, we know speaking words is more influence.
You heard us using those different words, and all those different words, we'd say no, they have nothing to do with it. Remember all those words we just went through in the definition?
Yeah.
Idea, notion, opinion, view, impression, feeling, theory, that doesn't affect anything. Contemplation, musing, pondering, consideration.
All right, those things you just named, are they part of the labyrinth or part of the mind?
They are part of the labyrinth.
So the labyrinth is made up of feelings?
No. The labyrinth is just the pathways that things go through, what thought goes through. It's where you
former conduits. Former laid down things.
So a notion, an opinion, a view, an impression, a feeling, a theory, all those things would just be paths where you can dump stuff.
They've been done. They have been a path. They are recorded.
It depends on your working definition of reverie.
Reverie, okay. Is there another part of the subvocal that we're not considering in these definitions, or that covers it all? Is that all the labyrinth that you just named?
It might produce something. A thought can produce something.
Is the category of antimatter useful in this topic?
Does antimatter produce something?
No, but it is the thing before it gets produced.
Yeah, well, now there you go. Okay. So then the pre-thought is better than the thought?
Right.
Okay, sure.
No, well, wait a minute. If something's manifested, it's matter. So antimatter should be called pre-matter.
Good. Okay. So pre-thought's fine. Everything else doesn't.
What does pre-thought apply to?
That's what Ion said. Or I said, but I didn't have any meaning for it. I'm to let it go. But
so
you interrupted.
So it was less than a pre-thought, Carolyn.
Yeah.
So thought doesn't mean anything. And then you say, oh, what about pre-thought? So thought doesn't mean anything. What do you think pre-thought means?
Pre-thought is the cause. He was talking about the cause of effect, of having an effect, of the thought having spoken words rather than thoughts. We said thoughts don't have anything to do with it. I said, what about pre-thought? If it's predetermined, if you're taking it as an adjective, if it's like agreed, arranged, calculated, cut and dried, deliberate, destined, determined, doomed, fated, fixed, foreordained, forethought, planned, prearranged, precognited, you can get premeditated, pre-planned, proposed, set up, settled. If it's all that, then that can't have an effect, can it not?
The term pre-count came for pre-matter. I said antimatter should be called pre-matter. Then this whole pre-thought is the ions of digression. Thought is thought. There's no pre-thought, unless he means predetermined thought, which would be the whole potential, pH, potential hydrogen of activities, of choices.
So does any of that mean anything at all, Bob?
No, those are speculations and sub-theories. And once you speak...
It's the words, so stop with all this.
No, listen to this.
You've asked the same question a dozen times.
Yeah, oh, we always do.
Does a mute person, a person who can't say words, create because they can't say words, Ion?
Do you remember? We went through this already, did we not?
We did. We have to re-ask everything.
That's right. They have to communicate. And if they are able to communicate, then they create. If they are not able to communicate, then that goes into the gov and waits until they transition for it to be created.
It's created by others.
That's right. But all of them have the ability, even if it's like a grunt or a moan or a tapping or a...
That is communication.
That is communication. That's right. Therefore, if you're at the doctor and you fall out, they'll respond to you. That's a creation. You didn't have to say a word.
What was the creation? The falling out?
If you're at the doctor, what?
If you're at
falling
the doctor,
out
you
is
fall
a creation.
Out, you can't speak. You're communicating. You're creating. They'll come and help you.
You're saying if you stroke out?
Yeah, or just pass out, or you're mute.
Yeah,
you can't say
out. But wait a minute, Carol. You never not communicate. Not speaking is communication.
That's correct.
But now, here's the issue. If speaking is what creates...
The word creates, not speaking. The word.
And the word involves more than what comes out of the mouth.
Many times, mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a gestural, a complex gesture by all the parts of a body, including sounds of the mouth. That's what creates, correct?
Mm-hmm.
See, this is what I was trying to get at many years ago on PETA. This is important. Mm-hmm. You are a word, but you are not limited to what you say in your mouth. Your arm gestures communicates, your ESP, your frequency, the whole being in the act of communication is what creates. Isn't that
correct.
Pretty good, Ian? That's a
pretty
new
close.
Level.
Pretty close. Very, very, very good.
Since that creates something, then science attempts to make the constituents into terms called matter. But it is matter because it's been created, but we don't have to limit the whole result to the stupid word matter. But if we were talking to a scientist, we'd say what was uttered by the whole person is matter, and what happened before the utterance is pre-matter. That's
or
pretty good.
Sometimes it's post-coital.
the communication is post-coital?
Okay.
Well, coital is communication.
And after that, that's communication too.
See, this is a big insight. People are focusing so much on their words and forgetting that their whole body structure and all the senses communicate, and it doesn't have to be verbal. Mm. Then that might bring in intention. You intend to communicate is a big factor in communication to be a manifestation.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
So we have come to a new understanding of how to talk about how we create. The word communication is more useful. And that's why we bring in Don Thiel's ecology of sense.
Oh, come on.
Okay, so the one little follow-up. So this is what Joyce was trying to show in Finning's Wake. The whole complex of speaking, of communication by the human, as opposed to what's called a logocentric, a too much emphasis on the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Finning's Wake is about.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Excellent. Thank
because
you, Ion.
There is a moose loose, a moose the moose. Therefore, we are totally, completely, deliciously, and forever.